Good morning. Today is Friday, June the 3rd, 153rd day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager, not at the fire scene, Greg Sparks.
Good morning, Brad.
You're not even diverting traffic.
You know,
you're not doing a heck of a lot this morning, are you?
I'm not. I got the call from Chief Gillespie, I don't know, before 7 a.m. this morning, but I had to come here first, so.
Oh, I see. So you're going to handle the PR portion of this program.
that's right.
What do you know about what's going on down there, Greg?
You know, I really don't know a lot at this, other than it was, it's a major fire. We called in mutual aid with Fortuna, and, and that very involved in terms of the structure fire down there. So I think they've got traffic being diverted, or at least had been, and so, not sure what the latest is on that.
But it's from what you understand, it's pretty well contained.
It seemed like that they had quite a bit of fire crew on scene and dealing with it. Fire started around 5 a.m., or at least they responded to it at 5 a.m.
Hopefully the start of a business day, not somebody lingering around afterwards. Who knows?
Right,
who
right.
knows? That's a scenario that doesn't happen that often in our area, but there certainly are a number of them. If you go back over the last 15 or 20 years even, and I don't know when you were contemplating the job, if you spent a lot of time going through the archives of what had happened, some of the sniper stuff along that has happened about a block away from the city hall and some of those other things that have resulted in blocking of the highway and diversions and multi-agency response. Is that something you drill to?
No, not really. Certainly you go back and, I've been here a couple of years now, and, when you are looking at coming into a community, a city manager before an interview process, you try to get a good sense of the city council, the staff, financial condition of the city, some major issues that have been dealt with in the past, major issues coming up. But, yeah, I'd say didn't get back to that kind of level of detail.
Hey, it might be worth looking.
It's a little late now for me, Brian.
No, not for the hiring consideration. I'm just thinking of what your future might hold.
That's right.
I would think that the preparation of a lot of this stuff, well, it's kind of the reason you and a whole bunch of the others, the swells, as I'm calling you, at least until some of the other guys come through the process and I can give them a hard time, went back to Emmitsburg a couple weeks ago,
right,
and had the opportunity to kind of role play some of this stuff. The interagency communication, is that something you feel more comfortable with now?
It's something I feel much more comfortable with because, about a month or so before that, I attended the an exercise scenario in Fortuna that the county had organized, put together. I hadn't been to any of these exercises locally before, and get there and basically told that I'm in charge of the EOC, and boy, talk about feeling like you're being thrown in, and actually that though did help a little bit prior to getting into Emmitsburg, but
at least you knew what the letters meant. It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:23. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. In case you're just kind of tuning in and haven't heard it, there's a traffic diversion on 4th Street at H. If you're headed south, now I don't know why anybody would want to be leaving Eureka this early in the morning. I'll do the little Chamber of Commerce stick. Okay, fine. But if you do happen to be driving through town, for whatever reason. There's a fire going on at close to Broadway, between A and Broadway on 4th Street, so you'll have a little bit of a diversion, a little bit of excitement downtown. But as City Manager Sparks said earlier, Chief Gillespie has it well under control.
I'm sure Humboldt Bay Fire, and with the assistance of area departments, are well on top of it.
Which kind of gets back to what we were talking about with Emmitsburg also, is that, you know, what are the roles? What are the reactions when you pull the string? That's an analogy I had playing basketball in college. When you play defense, everybody, even though you're five independents, you move as if somebody pulls a string. So if everybody shifts left, everybody makes those adjustments and rotates and et cetera, et cetera. And that's kind of what I use as my reference point for the analogies that I hear of the stories you guys have coming back of, okay, major event, here's what goes on. We're working as a unit of independence.
Right.
TS, not CES, running for the hills. What were your expectations, Greg, going in there, that this would be more of a kumbaya and you just get to know all the different players in the area and it'll be nice and we'll have a little bit of fun, have a hot dog or two and come back with a better understanding of who people are? Or did you think it would be what it was?
Yeah, I certainly knew there'd be that building relationship piece, and that's important because, you know, our management team, we know each other, we know kind of the depth of, you know, and what people can do, but we don't tend to have as much interaction with the county folks or some of the other fire districts in the area, and working with Arcata if you had a major type of disaster. So that was an important piece of establishing and building upon those relationships. But, you know, the thing from our end, too, we just have so many new people in positions that don't have some of that institutional knowledge of, well, what did we do during the last earthquake, you know, kind of a thing. So
last earthquake?
Right. Yeah. You know, I've, as I said, I've been here 2 years. Over the years, I've been in a couple activated emergency operations centers. I remember the one very well. It was on my 30th birthday, which is getting to be a few years ago. It was potential flooding on the Rio Grande River when I was city manager in Alamosa, Colorado. And we dealt with about 3 years in a row of flooding on the Rio Grande. But very different in terms of resources, but yet the principles are the same. We were working with the state patrol and various state departments, and we had the Corps of Engineers in and city and county working together. And so all those types of principles tend to stay the same, whether it's flood, tornado, earthquake. But certainly the scenario we did was a 9.0 earthquake with tsunami. Well, that just overwhelms resources, particularly in an area like ours where we're so remote. I mean, one of our instructors was the former public works director for, City of Oakland or one of the suburbs in the Bay Area. Well, yeah, you can be a little cut off in the Bay Area, but your ability to get resources in is still much easier than what it is.
Yeah, but you don't have tankers breaking free from the dock floating down Main Street.
Yeah, that's probably right.
A little bit different. So as you're looking at that, I made a jot down because I think most of the folks, at least the folks that I'm aware of who went back, were city, county, maybe special district.
Yeah.
However, something like this is also state and federal.
Right.
And my understanding is if there's a break in the communication chain, there's been enough push between the cities and the county to try to kind of have things working together. And you got the fire departments and the cops all kind of coming from the same playbook. You can talk about dispatch and some of that. And there may be some weaknesses, but it's the states and the feds where the disconnect is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more than just a handhold reach out. It's more of a moat with alligators. that are hungry, separating.
Mm-hmm.
Were there any state or federal folks involved also in this process, or were they just kind of referenced as they won't be there for about 2 weeks as they're dealing with larger, more metropolitan areas that have bigger problems than you pat you on the head.
You know, the scenario really kind of left, you know, we didn't have the state or federal folks there. And some of it is because just the nature of when you apply for these grants and who can go and that type of thing. I know from previous work we've done, Cal OES, very tuned into what, you know, goes on here. But at the same time, depend upon the size of an earthquake, say a Cascadia subduction that, you know, that impacts to Seattle, we may not be very high on that list just because of the population numbers. So it is going to be very important that from a public standpoint, that as residents, as businesses, that you're prepared in the short term to, in a sense, kind of protect yourself and for several days. And from city, county resources, you know, we are going to be on our own for a few days until resources can come in, because if 101 gets cut off, other, you know, 299, we're in
just
big
like
trouble.
Just like the old days.
Right.
It's 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time is 8:35. We're back. Talking Shop this morning with Greg Sparks, City Manager for Eureka. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redec. Damien, do we have any update? I'm sure that there's still the traffic detours is going on 8th Street. So if you're heading into downtown, you might run into a little something coming to work also.
That's right.
In whatever direction you may be coming from, even from Sunny Cutting. Greg, in talking about the exercise you go through with a major natural event and one that isn't anticipated, you know, it was a weird thing for, I think, a lot of us with the tsunami, tidal wave, from the Japanese event.
Right.
Great. So we got a day and a half notice. Okay. Oh boy, it's good. We got 3 hours, and you know, everybody's sleeping by the time the thing gets here because there's been so much lead time. The adrenaline is pumped, and then now you're on the backside where it's down, and everybody's kind of dragging. You're not really sure what to anticipate. Versus the quick hit, boom! There's the earthquake. Let's go.
Right, and with, you know, a Cascadia subduction earthquake, you are going to have the day and a half of warning with a tsunami. It's depend upon just where that happens. It could be relatively quick. You know, the bay certainly helps dissipate tsunami action, which, you know, so we haven't been hit the same way Crescent City has been with some of theirs, but we end up with an inundation zone basically up, you know, up to 101, and it kind of points out, you know, where you know, there's some weaknesses from the city standpoint. Our courtyard is in an inundation zone, so yeah, be great to move that. I don't tend to have those dollars right now to do something like that, but from a overall planning standpoint, that makes sense to be kind of thinking about other options if you know, where something like that could be moved to. And when you have some advance notice, then at least you can get equipment out of the area. So
that's it's interesting, and I don't know if Public Works has got access to the information. What I do in my head when that kind of a play out, okay, you see, so you got Broadway. Mm-hmm. Broadway's built over a creek, literally over a creek. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if we get a wiggle jiggle, does Broadway even stay intact? Or does it split apart? Okay, now, can you get your trucks out of the fire station? fire station survives, but you can't get it from here to there now.
Yeah.
And those types of, I guess, more minutia rather than big picture stuff. But that's where I think a lot of the reality of this stuff is going to hit. You can't go 2 blocks to get to that place. You have to go 2 miles and loop around to get to that place that you can see. Those types of things, because we have so much fill around here. I mean, that's just, you know, what we're dealing with. Was that part of this exercise also?
There was, and there was these how would they call them? These injects that would come in that, what the scenario was, okay, you know, fire station number 4, roof collapse, can't get the piece of equipment out of there. I mean, there are things like that. There, the earthquake hit during the Arcata Oyster Festival. Well, that I know last year I was at the Arcata Oyster Festival, so I may not be able to get back to Eureka. We're going to have other, since key people who maybe cannot get to the Emergency Operations Center in the short term or even longer term, depend upon the left. So it's important to have, some depth in our organizational chart of people who've been trained and can step into roles. And
yeah, you certainly don't want your favorite neighborhood radio guy to be in charge.
Well, I know where you live, and I could grab you in a hurry.
It's intriguing for me because the two captains from EPD were going out. Okay, and they've been around a little bit, so they've gone through that. I'm wondering if the institutional knowledge lays at the lower levels of the organizations rather than the senior, and you might almost need to spend time turning the organization upside down to see what's going on.
You know, that's why we had really such a large group that went out, because we had some, we went down, between the captains, we had, the dispatch manager and people like that who are going to, because dispatch is going to be obviously very key in terms of that they're going to be overwhelmed as well from people. Everyone's going to be calling in as to, I can't get out of my driveway or this happened, that happened, and how you, in a sense, triage all those types of emergency calls that come in when you're dealing with such a large magnitude of a disaster, because the individual sees their individual problem. They aren't necessarily concerned about the highway bridges being out. How do I get from my house to, I need to go to work, or I think I need to go, pick up my child at daycare or whatever.
Or I need to go.
Yeah, I just plain need to go.
And the sewer system is out.
Yeah.
those types of things. Yeah.
With a tsunami event, our wastewater treatment plant is, that's in the inundation zone. It will be, any kind of depth at all to a tsunami will compromise the wastewater treatment plant in a hurry. It will,
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:42. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka. Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Greg Sparks. Greg, with the training that you guys were experiencing back in Emmitsburg, one of the things that I kind of sensed out of it is that the community also needs to be prepared. We weren't there. Yeah, maybe we had elected representatives there, but, it's still kind of like the club for a lot of us.
Right.
Is the community trained to be able to do and act and not compound and cause problems with a major event? Or can you expect us to be?
I think there's a lot more we can do from our end, and we're going to be having more discussions about that. Right. How do you educate the public? And since to be able to shelter in place for 7 to 10 days with the idea that, city may not be able to come and and remove that tree that's blocking you from getting out of your driveway or your street, because we're dealing with all this host of other significant issues of trying to get the community back to normal. That can be a tough one to get at, because if you haven't had something major in some time, it's easy to become complacent. Easy to think, it won't be that bad, or I live out of the tsunami zone, so.
Or if we've ridden out a couple of the big ones.
Yeah.
If you've been here for 30 or 40 years, okay, you've experienced the floods, you've experienced the tidal waves, you've experienced some of these things. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I made it. We'll do it again. Next.
Yeah, sometimes you can learn the wrong thing, though, from just because you've made it through a few of those things over the years, get complacent that nothing's ever going to be worse than that. Talking about that flooding problem I was dealing with when I was 30 years old, I was out there with our longtime water superintendent, the river, or a couple days ahead, and he said, it's never flooded here. I've been here 30 years, never flooded. I stand out there 2 in the morning looking at the river, and I said, gee, Don, what do you think? He says, boy, I've never seen it that high before. And, I think that's
a little bit. Well, the folks in the Houston area and eastern Texas right now dealing
absolutely
with that.
Yeah. And that will be one of the things that we learn from this, is how can we help better educate the public, business community, about how to at least be, somewhat prepared for whether it's major earthquake or some other type natural disaster.
I would think, as much as anything, make the decision.
Yeah.
Don't ignore it. I mean, make whatever the decision is, if you're going to or you're not going to, that's okay. Make the decision and have that thought process.
I mean, you think, your gas lines are cut off. Okay, well, that electricity's out. Boy, that makes cooking a little bit harder. Now, luckily, I have a couple of camp stoves, and I actually have a few canisters of gas. So, I
know where you live.
And I got some freeze-dried food ready for the next backpacking trip. So, yeah, I think I've got probably enough.
Certain lifestyles are going to be better suited.
That's right. I think I've got enough food at least for a week. So,
yeah. So all of a sudden, Sparks becomes popular.
Yeah, you can come over for that freeze-dried chili anytime.
Oh, nummy nummies. Yeah. No comment.
It needs a little mountain magic to go with it,
Oh, you're one of those hikers. Okay.
That's by mountain magic, there's nothing like a day when you've burned 5,000 calories to make freeze-dried chili taste really good.
There you go. Thanks for coming by.
Okay, thank you.
See you Monday.